Thank you for choosing the UK Talk Radio Breakfast Show podcast. And don't forget, we're on air Monday to Friday, 7 until 11, from the uktalkradiostation.co.uk. The uktalkradiostation.co.uk. Catching up with Manny Gabri later with some fantastic top tips for your business. And there's humour as we put a smile on your face with Norman Pridmore. This is the podcast you're going to love.
Jeff Carter.
Hello and welcome to the show. There's no doubt about it. He is an effrontery to other road users, but a legend in his own imagination. He's got tinted windows on his car. He's here in the studio. Let's say hello to Kev, the boy racer.
As a cameo, dude, my name's Kev. I love to rev. I love to get my mates to push me around the supermarket in a trolley, and we go round and round.
You okay there, Kev? You sound a little bit out of breath. I'll tell you what, I've told you before, you shouldn't be pushing each other around supermarkets in a trolley.
Well, I'll tell you what, as I'm driving around in my car,
yes,
and I notice all these old folks as I'm looking out through me tinted windows, and I've got me cap on the wrong way. What I've noticed is that all these old folks, they just go very slowly. And I think the thing is, I've realised that anybody who's over 42, they're old folk. 42,
and
you're
charming.
Old and past it.
What do you mean past it? I think that's a bit rude, Kev, to be honest. I mean,
so I want to help all old folk who are over 42. So what I'm proposing to do is, I think these people need to be sped up a bit. We need to speed them up like my car. They need to be souped up. So
souped
what I've been doing is, I've been going down to the supermarket car park and talking to the manager there. And I'm quite friendly with the guy who's on the door.
Oh.
And what we're doing is, we just stand by the door there,
yes,
and we look out for any old folk who might need a help. So, for instance, I saw a little old lady, she must have been at least 52, coming into the supermarket, and I went over to her with the store manager and the man on the door there, and we said, "Listen, old person, we can help you." Now, I noticed that she had a trolley. She was pushing a trolley, but she was going rather slowly. So I said, "Look, the security man's going to take you around the supermarket with your trolley.
Right.
And I'll be going off to my workshop, and I'll be doing something with your little trolley so that you can go a little bit faster." She said, "Kev, that's just the tonic." So while she was shopping, I went back to my workshop.
Yes.
And I came back to the supermarket with her little trolley. And when she got all her shopping, she put it into the trolley.
Right.
Now what I'd done is, I'd added a seat onto the back of it. And I've got an engine in there.
Right.
Yeah, there's an old Ford Escort engine in there.
I see.
Yeah. I tell you what, she sat on that thing. I said, "Now listen to me, old dear. Be a bit careful." She said, "Don't worry about that, lovey. I'm having a new lease of life here." Anyway, she put on the accelerator and sped across the car park. Her hair was stuck out around her face there. It was just flying all over the place. She must have been going at 30 miles an hour. Luckily, nobody from the authorities was there to observe it.
I tell you what,
she came back to me and she was smiling and laughing there. I'll tell you what, I brightened up her day.
That's good.
Unfortunately, she was going for so fast that her false teeth fell out. We tried not to say nothing. So she just drove home without her false teeth. I don't know if she had nothing to eat that day.
Kev, that's terrible. Well, she just lost her false teeth. Well, you should have told her about that, for goodness sake. That's outrageous.
By putting a Ford Escort engine onto her little shopping cart. Yeah, I've seen her zooming around in that.
Outrageous, Kev. I hope she can control the thing, for goodness sake.
Yeah, although to be honest, the store manager said, he said she's been in there a few times, sat on that trolley that you've designed, and unfortunately, she's nearly gone into a few customers in the aisle, and she was going a bit fast round the bend on one of the aisles, and she knocked a whole load of baked beans off. I said, "Well, these old folk, they're all irresponsible, no wonder."
Well, you were the one who caused her to be driving this trolley with a Ford Escort engine.
Now, another thing I've noticed is there's another way to pep them up.
Oh.
So sometimes I've been helping old folks as they go around doing their shopping.
Right.
Now, what I've been doing is, normally they just go for those decaffeinated coffees. Now, what I've done is, they don't know, I have put in the full strength coffee into their shopping car.
I tell you
what, that peps them up. I tell you, when they come towards the entrance to the supermarket, some of them are running now. They've hardly been walking for years because they've got an extra strong coffee.
You've pepped them up there, Kev. They're running now.
And I'll tell you what, this will all help because Shaz's mum wants me to do good works. Yeah, she'd be pleased that I've been helping them old folk in the community. That means I'll be able to see Shaz. Camping together.
Ulterior motive care. Yeah, now I see where this one's coming from. Anyway, and I see what you're up to.
I'll say to you, hello.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Yeah, yeah.
Yes, there he goes, trying to help people so that he can go camping with Shaz. It's Kev the Boy Racer. He's leaving the studio this very second. Stay off of the roads if you can.
Jeff Carter.
Hello and welcome to the show. He's with us on the phone right now. He is Norman Pridmore from the Alliance Against Alliances, but not some alliances. And he's launching a new campaign, which is called Stay Alert When Reversing. Hello, Norman. Welcome to the show.
Yes, it's Norman Pridmore here from the Alliance Against Alliances. Against other alliances, but we're not for other alliances.
I see. I think I kind of follow that.
Now, it's come to the attention of me and my team
that
when it comes to parking in a supermarket or a car park, some people have a terrible problem with reversing their car.
Oh.
Which, of course, if you pass your test, you should be able to reverse it due to the Highway Code Act of 1953, amended in 2001, stroke 55, paragraph 955 of reversing a car on a car park. Now, what we're going to do, I'll have my team, we'll have clipboards, and we'll be hiding behind cars in car parks, or if there's no other cars there, hiding behind bushes. We'll have binoculars, and we'll be looking out for people in the car park who are parking their cars correctly.
I see. So you're going to be hiding there and just observing.
Now, what we will do is, as soon as we see an incorrect reversing of a vehicular transportational device, we will leap forward from behind the car and tap on the roof very loudly and hold our hand up in the halt position, saying, "Halt, you can no longer move forward or move backward."
I see. I think that
we
might scare
ask
people.
The driver to wind down their window,
and
we will explain to them the correct procedures of reversing. What we will then do is we will get into the passenger seat, we'll have our clipboard, and we'll mark them out of 10 as to how their parking is. We'll also be taking down their registration number so that when they come down to the car park the next time, we can see if their parking is as it should be, according to the Highway Codes Act 2001, from paragraph 953, type 2. We'll also give them a report on their driving as far as reversing is concerned.
Well, that seems quite clear. I mean, they get a full report then.
Especially to see if they're doing wobbly reversing. Some people, when they drive their cars backwards, start to wobble. Others just have no idea what they're doing, no inclination about reversing whatsoever. Maybe they're thinking about what they're going to go and buy in the shop. That is not acceptable.
No.
We're making sure, and we'll be looking at them closely as they reverse to make sure that they've got full attention on the vehicle and they're not daydreaming about other things.
I see. I'm not sure how you'll prove what they're thinking.
What we've noticed is it doesn't matter what supermarket you go to, this is across all the different supermarkets, reversing seems to be a problem. So I'll be out with my team, and we're going to start tomorrow. So beware if you're in a car park or a supermarket car park, we could be hiding behind a car, and we'll jump out and bang your window or bang the roof to signify that you must stop your vehicle, and then we'll jump in and show you how to reverse properly.
I mean, I think this could be a bit dangerous. I mean, people might be frightened by just banging going on their roof.
Stay alert, reverse your car. That's a stay alert and reverse your car.
Stay alert and reverse your car. I like it.
Anyway, I've got an important committee meeting, so I can't be talking to you for very much longer.
Oh, charming.
I must now say to you, goodbye, and we will talk very soon. Remember, stay alert when reversing.
I'll do that. Thank you very much, Norman Pridmore, and stay alert when reversing. If you don't, he'll be jumping out behind a bush and banging loudly on your roof or against your window. It sounds to me as if some people might get more of a shock than they realised.
Jeff Carter.
This is a featured UK Talk Radio top business.
Today from the studios of UK Talk Radio, I'm talking to Manny Gabry from Business Clarity. The website is businessclarity.net. That's businessclarity.net. I guess a business is like a ship. It's no good having a ship which just drifts around in the ocean. You need to have a destination. You need to be heading in a certain direction. So could you give us three simple points that would help us to steer the correct course for our business?
So the first point really is to have clear, crystal clarity on your intentions. You know, when we live a life that is intentional, you know, that's a different kind of life. So it's about being clear about what do you intend for your life, for your business? What do you intend for your clients? You know, what are you actually offering? How are you going to serve people? How are you going to help them solve their problems and discover their pain points? You know, what do your clients need in terms of what they're looking for, and how do your products and services match their needs? So it's about shifting our minds from, towards a solution-focused service as opposed to selling. You know, when we shift from thinking about selling to serving, then that's when the magic truly happens. So clearly, you know, I knew from the outset that I intended for my clients to have the tools and strategies to create a successful and fulfilling life and business, as I have done, and to guide them to make better choices so they're more in control of their destiny. That was my intention for my clients. How can I help them build the life that they dream of, where they have financial freedom, where they have the time to do the things that they really want, that give them peace and sort of deep satisfaction? Because I truly believe that most people want to be happy and healthy and abundant. You know, that's what most of us want. So clarity of intention is key to any successful business. The second point is really to be able to outline a simple and consistent plan of action of how your business is going to grow and also evolve. Because any successful business will only survive if it is going to evolve, in other words, change with the times and the changing demands and needs of the consumer. So your plan should outline certain specifics. So things like, you know, specifically who is your ideal target client? How are you going to reach that audience? You know, how are you going to help them solve their problems? How are you going to find those people that need you and build the products and services and the brand and the team to draw and retain the right type of clients? You know, what is your business model for high profitability? And all of this requires a very open mind, open to evolving and growth, a simple but consistent business plan that you are constantly working on, and, as I say, a shift from the selling mindset to the service mindset. So again, you know, in my earlier years, I did a lot of networking for about 10 years solidly to build my client base, trying to find those right clients and retain them, because what I did was I offered a unique experience around personal and professional transformation or self-mastery. And I dedicated time towards delivering that best experience that I possibly could and developed those relationships with my clients by showing them genuine care and commitment and authenticity. And now my business really is growing through referrals and recommendations and is evolving. You know, as I evolve, my business evolves. And I'm working more with CEOs and their teams to help them, give them the same kind of tools that I have used and created along my time. So, you know, the second point is a simple and consistent strategic plan is key to sustaining business success. And I think thirdly, it's important to understand that people who are successful have certain traits, what I call high-impact entrepreneurs. You know, these people are of a different breed. They are determined, they are decisive, disciplined, dedicated, and they're highly trained and in tune in terms of how they think, feel, and behave, and how they respond to situations and circumstances. So they've cultivated certain habits that form part of their unique DNA or their blueprint, which makes them stand out from the crowd in the competition and allows them to deliver that excellent level of performance. Both at a personal and professional level, just like a world-class athlete. So, you know, entrepreneurs, high-impact entrepreneurs, they thrive on excellence. They don't make any excuses for substandard performance. You know, everything is about challenge, about growth, about moving forward. So striving for excellence is also key. So I think these three points, you know, clarity of your intention, what do you intend, simple, consistent, strategic planning, and striving for excellence in everything you do are really great ways to create a successful and thriving business that you enjoy and that you're proud of. So that's what I would say are sort of three things to think about when you're running and trying to create a sustainable business.
So three important insights there, which will help us. And you talked about turning dreams into reality. There we were talking about the theory, but you've actually had the practice and you've successfully helped clients. So for CEOs and managers listening, could you give us an example and share with me an example of a client that you have helped?
Yes, yeah, sure. I mean, I think over the last 13 years, I've worked with well over 200 clients from all walks of life. And a recent example of a lovely client that I worked with who was actually referred to me from an existing client. You know, we met, and within an hour, she'd actually, and this is true, she actually signed me up for a 12-month program because we just connected immediately. And I very quickly honed into where she was in her life and her business and you know, what she alluded to, what she would like it to look like. So she'd actually grown her business very organically into a thriving and highly profitable, I mean, year-on-year profit over the last 10 years, a remarkable journey, a very inspirational leader and a wonderful human being as well. But, you know, over the time that we worked together, we started exploring the options for what she really wanted her life and her business to look like. And we explored the options of growing her business, of perhaps selling an exit, you know, looking at her existing team, looking at her traits as a leader, you know, where she felt she was good at her strengths, her areas of improvement. So these discussions really helped her crystallize and clarify what she wanted for her future. And really what she wanted was she decided that she no longer wanted to serve the business and wanted to sell it because her head and her heart said it was time to move on. A very difficult and heart-wrenching decision because this was her baby. You know, she had brought this business through time to fruition to something that she loved, but that decision was right at the time. And people have to be ready. You know, heart and head have to be aligned to make those tough choices. And one of the things that really helps working with a coach is to have those insightful discussions like I did with my coach. Insightful, meaningful, deep discussions that help you reach those decision points. So the other thing she also did was that she contracted me to start working with her team of managers to help prepare them for this transition, which was going to happen, and build them into a more solid and resilient team that could cope with the changes that they needed to be prepared for. Because as you know, people don't like change. People are resistant to change. So they need to be prepared for that. So I did start working with the team and roughly had about 6 to 8 days with them. And it was an absolute pleasure working with her and her team and helping them reach that point of decision and change, which was really in the best interest of the business and as a whole and the owners. So that's just a prime example of working very closely alongside a client. And what we do as coaches, we explore lots of options. And part of being a coach is to offer them that trustworthy, neutral sounding board that's going to help bring about the change. You know, we are the change catalyst. Because often people at the top can get very lonely and very isolated, and they need that objective and neutral mentor, someone who can help them really discern what's right for them. Because your coach is like a business partner, but with no vested interest, someone you can really trust and rely upon to guide you to the right path and also to challenge you along the way. That's a big part of coaching. You know, we're there to support, to guide, to direct, but also challenge you to really think a bit more outside of the box, which you may not do if you were thinking of things by yourself. So that's just one example of working with a client. And I have to say, one thing I'd like to say is that I've been very blessed and fortunate that I have worked with wonderful people. I've never worked with a client that I thought, I don't really want to be working with you. So I guess that is part of drawing those right clients, connecting with the right people. And it's all about the energy that we give out and what comes back to us. So I've been very fortunate to work with some what I call wonderful human beings. And it's been an honor, really, to be part of that transition for them.
And as you mentioned, it's very difficult for a manager or CEO because they're running the company. They can often feel as if they're stuck on the top of a mountain on their own. Who can they talk to you? But you've given an example there of how you've been able to help them and make a difficult decision a lot more easy, and also how that you can work in harmony with them. So in other words, it takes that pressure off. So some fantastic examples there. To round off our interview, what piece of wisdom would you like to share with our listeners?
So I would say to people that are listening that don't ever settle for second best. You know, if you are stagnating or you're struggling with your business and work-life balance, you know, stop. Just get off that wheel, take time out. And this is often the challenge because people haven't got the time to take time out, but actually that's what you need to do. Find a way to take time out, to take stock, to slow down, to decelerate. Because by creating space, you can think more clearly about what you really want your future to look like. You know, your business to look like, your team to look like. So it's really important that you recognize that taking time out is the way to make the progress to move forward. There isn't no need to stay stuck. You know, life is a very precious and rare gift. So I'd say put your fears to one side, trust the universe, and take decisive and immediate action.
So some powerful advice there. We've been talking about clarity. This is just the first of our interviews. We'll have some more tips and some more help for managers and CEOs in further podcasts. Could you give us your website details, Manny, so that we can find out some further details?
Yeah, it's businessclarity.net.
So that's businessclarity.net. So we look forward to speaking to you on the next interview, and thank you once again for your insights.
Thank you so much, Jeff. Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
This is a featured UK Talk Radio Top Business.